Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Catherine Crowley's here. Catherine's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We love having her on the show. She is an educated, trained, certified psychotherapist, and she and her partner, Kathy Elster, who is also the co-author of the book that they wrote together, Working for You Isn't Working for Me. They also help lots of folks, companies just like yours and mine, retool their organization to get everybody talking to each other and working together and engaged. And she's our good friend, Catherine Crowley. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's my pleasure to be here.
Good to have you back. Okay, so you've been working on a project. I'll tell the audience about this before you got here, Catherine.
Sure.
About bad behavior. And you're not even talking about twerking, are you? You're talking about just bad behavior in the workplace, right?
Yeah, well, what we've discovered is there's a phenomenon.
What's an example of bad behavior?
An example is you can have someone, you can have a boss, you can have a client,
right.
You can have a vendor who is not able to admit when they've made a mistake, when they've done something wrong, when something is in their error.
What about the employees? You forgot the employees.
You can have employees, exactly,
yeah.
who have trouble admitting and owning their mistakes, their errors, their missteps. And the thing that's interesting about it, in some cases it may be that a person is stubborn, but in other cases, Jim, it's literally that they are structured, their internal wiring
right. May
be different from yours and mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some people for whom admitting wrongdoing is psychologically it costs too much psychologically.
It's such an assault on their ego.
Exactly. It's an admission of weakness,
mm-hmm.
and it's an admission of instead of doing something wrong, they feel as if they are at the core wrong.
Well, but it also assaults everything they think about themselves.
Yes.
They have such a self-imposed or self-evaluated self-worth that to do anything other than just move on would break down the entire foundation of who they are.
That's right. So, and when you come across it, what's interesting is actually it's not, we usually consider these individuals to be arrogant or, you know, overly confident.
Right.
And the truth is that underneath that exterior is, as you've mentioned, a fairly shaky
right. Identity. Well, it might be arrogance, but because I've seen that. But it also might be a fragile situation or somebody who's. And I know people who have really underlying. What's the term we use? You know what I'm talking about.
Psychoses, neuroses.
No. They have their self worth, their sense of self worth.
Yeah.
Inferiority complex is what I'm trying to say. They have an inferiority complex,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes people, when they have an inferiority complex, you know, they act like that, right? They act like
That's
they're
right.
inferior. But some people go the other way. They put up
That's
these
right.
firewalls. They put up, you know, they're the kind of people who are dominant, you know, conversationalists.
That's right.
When they shake your hand, they pull you toward them. They don't just shake your hand. You know what I mean? They've got
right.
to maintain an advantage over you, or you're liable to discover that they're inferior.
Right. So that's exactly it. So the message actually that we were giving, we just gave a teleconference on this very topic, is not to those individuals because they're going to do what they're going to do. It's to the people on the receiving end. So if you're the boss of this kind of person,
mm-hmm.
if you are working under this kind of person, if you've got a client that this way is, you know, maybe they blame you for all the mistakes and take credit for all your successes.
Right.
you have to, what we tend to do is get caught in a power struggle with this kind of person, insisting that they admit. You know, we try to prove that they are wrong, or we try to reason with them. We try to do things that really they're not capable of doing with us.
You mean like the politician?
Yes, like the politician.
We're seeing that on the left and the right these days, aren't we? They just can't admit.
We sure have.
They, you know, how many years did the press and the Democrats beat up on George Bush because he wouldn't admit that he was wrong when he was, and now it's going the other way for President Obama.
So, that's right.
So the pattern here is not the politics; it's political, right?
Well, it is, but you know, it could also be structural. That in both cases, those individuals couldn't afford to admit wrongdoing. They couldn't handle it. And, you know, it's true.
Well, remember, you can't get to that level if you don't have a monumental ego, right?
Yes, that's true. And yet, some of our greatest leaders are the ones who've been able to admit when they've made a mistake.
The most self-effacing.
When they've gone in the wrong direction.
Truman and Reagan and people like that. Yeah.
So when you're with that kind of individual, the key is not to try to argue for them to see their side of the picture, because as you just pointed out, they can't really do it. They can't afford to do it. They won't do it. The key with this individual is to appeal to their self-image.
Mm-hmm.
So what you would want to say, for example, if they did something, you know, it's a coworker who just didn't show up for a meeting or has fallen down in some way and can't admit that they fell down their responsibility, you have to say, you know, that kind of thing really tarnishes your reputation here.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm. But now you have to say that in certain ways. You say that differently to an employee than you would to a boss, right?
Absolutely.
Or to a customer, maybe even.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yet, if you use what I would call image-enhancing terms, like you don't want to look like a fool here.
Right.
Or we want to make sure that your standing remains highly professional.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the
mm-hmm.
case may be, talking to how it looks for them, then you may get some headway in the situation.
Right. So I would say, John, you know, you're highly regarded here in this organization, but something you did recently, I'm concerned, might impact that negatively. Can I mention
exactly.
that to you or something like that?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, Jim, you could be teaching this.
I tried that with a lady one time. It didn't go well, Catherine. I'm sure it wasn't me. I'm sure it wasn't the way I did it. Hey, Catherine, give us the website quickly, please.
K-SquaredEnterprises.com.
The book is called
Enterprises.
The book is called Working for You Isn't Working for Me. Catherine Crowley. That's Catherine with a K, by the way. She and I will be right back. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.